Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the 10th, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Credit Committee. This meeting is also made available by teleconference for public access. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this combined in-person and telephonic meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants who are not speaking to please mute your telephone. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel of RA Housing. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda and information and documents on each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion of the meeting is interrupted for any reason, we will stop until audio can be restored. Chair of the Credit Committee, Kevin Orth, will preside this morning. Commissioners and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. And with that, I will turn it over to committee chair to call the meeting to order. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Corinne. This is Kevin Orth. Good morning, everyone. It is now 9:34, and I'd like to call this Credit Committee meeting to order. Carol, would you please take a
Commissioner Orth. Commissioner Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Womer.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
Committee.
Great. Thank you. Now turn to our first agenda item, which is the approval of minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on March 13, 2024. The motion to approve?
Motion made.
Thank you, Seth. Second?
Okay.
Great, thanks. Corinne, would you please take a look?
Certainly. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on March 13, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 4 affirmative votes, and the motion is approved.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number 2, recommendation for firm approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 located in Providence. And
Trevor.
Okay. Great.
Can we just acknowledge that Commissioner Barry has
morning, Morgan.
Hi, now in the meeting. Thank you.
Trevor Kane. This request is for action is for firm approval of 4 components, a new tax-exempt financing in an amount not to exceed $12,300,000, of which $3 million will remain permanent tax-exempt first mortgage, a development of Affordable Housing 2 program, DAH2 loan in an amount not to exceed $4,010,000, a capital magnet fund, CMF loan in an amount not to exceed $990,000, and the Community Revitalization Program, CRP grant, in an amount not to exceed $680,000 for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1. This would be a risk-share loan, and total soft subsidy per unit is $52,593. Twin Companies is the developer, and the development received preliminary approval on May 18, 2023. The current request takes into consideration some refinements in the scope of work, with the primary addition being the replacement of all windows to eliminate moisture issues. Lockwood Plaza was built in 1979 and last renovated in 2011, and many systems in Phase 1 are near the end of their useful life. The scope of the proposed work will ensure that Lockwood Plaza continues to provide safe and healthy affordable housing for its residents. The subject request is for Phase 1 comprises 108 townhouse units and 17 garden-style townhouse units. It includes 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms at 60% AMI and caters to families. The underwriting conforms with Rhode Island Housing's standard requirements, except it does not pass Part 2 of the bridge loan test. Given that this is a tax-exempt transaction, this is not uncommon. interest rate will be equivalent to the taxable interest rate at time of closing. Current underwriting is 6.75%. Happy to answer any questions.
Hey, thanks very much, Joe. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Thanks, Steph.
Second.
Second, Jonathan. Thank you very much. Comments or questions about this action?
I'll start one.
Sure.
The bonds aren't coming in until construction is 50%. Is that right? Is that true here?
Yes.
That is correct.
Can you just explain just a little bit more about how that works?
Sure, I can do that. So the syndicator in this transaction is Boston Financial, and their investor is Citizens Bank. It is not uncommon for the bank investors who are in these transactions to require that they provide construction financing. They earn more money, and they also get more CRA credit. We've done this before with Citizens Bank. Essentially, they will fund the first 50% of construction, and once construction gets to about that point, we will issue our bonds, take out their construction loan, finish the project. So our bonds are out for a long enough period of time to meet all the requirements of the bond attorneys, of which there are many, and then it gets the balloon mortgage gets repaid at construction completion.
Gotcha. By virtue of the CRA credit dimension, do you think we get more favorable treatment as a result?
I do, and I probably would defer to Maria on this because she probably is far more knowledgeable. But yes, banks tend to do that when what we've seen is when there's a multi-fund versus a proprietary fund, that the pricing on the multi-fund is lower. It's a couple of cents per credit, typically. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yep. And also, the debt also counts for CRA, so they'll get credit for both the investment and the lending. And also, too, from a bank's perspective and in your question, it's a little easier to monitor when you have a loan, when you're also the investor. So I think a lot of banks prefer to have both and doing it direct, there's beneficial, there's not a lot of extra.
Bit tricky though with fiscal recovery funding because of the debt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it is a
because
challenge.
Of the delay on our entry.
Right.
And
yeah.
spend that money.
That's
very
right.
good point.
So we will work with the developer and the syndicator to sort of scrutinize that cash flow, get as much of the SFRF dollars out the door early, and try and maximize how much can get spent now versus toward the end of construction. This is, it's an ACT rehab, but I think they've got a good team in place, and it will move pretty quickly.
Yeah. Very good team.
Definitely good team. And also, the investors usually very open to that money coming in. They just want to make sure it comes in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think that it will be able to be worked out.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Comments or questions? I have a few questions. Could you remind us what the repayment terms are on the AH2 loan?
Sure. That's 50% of surplus cash. That's fairly typical. Our surplus cash requirements are 50%.
And then I noticed in the loan to value, the appraiser came up with a valuation of about $7.3 million. Yet there's a $9.1 million acquisition price shown. Is that justified?
It is. I mean, we spent, Trevor spent some time looking at the the appraisal, and it absolutely appraises for $15 million. So you want to talk a little bit about sort of the existing versus the proposed?
The
So the existing as-is appraisal is $13.1 million, so, which is reflected in the actually, they're not even taking all of that as acquisition credits.
No. Okay, on here it shows $7.3 million.
For?
The look.
Right, that's the valuation the proposed transaction. This does not show the evaluation on the as is. So are you looking at this chart right here?
Yes.
This is on our proposed underwriting, which is different from the as is appraisal.
So you're saying as is $13 million and proposed is $7 million?
That's what the appraisal.
Why would the value go down after the big rehab?
It's a great question. I've got to go back and look at the appraisal in more detail, but we can provide that for you.
I just want to make sure, obviously, that the acquisition costs are justified.
Yep.
Defer this item as a result?
I think they'll come up with an answer.
Yeah, I just need to go back and look at it. We'll shoot
you. Would.
I know. I just understanding where you were going.
Right.
Okay.
We'll review that and shoot you a memo.
Okay. Okay. Great. I didn't have any other comments or questions myself. No. Thank you. Hearing no other comments or questions, Corinne, would you please take a vote?
Yes, happy to. All those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 5 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Thank you. Let's move on to item recommendation for firm approval of Square Apartments 2 located in Providence. And Trevor, are you taking this again? Way to go.
Trevor Keane. This request for action is for firm approval of a new tax-exempt, taxable first mortgage financing in an amount not to exceed $20,750,000 for Cathedral Square Apartments 2. Cathedral Development Group, incorporated as a developer. Cathedral Square Apartments 2 is not currently in the Rhode Island housing portfolio. So this request is an opportunity to make a great addition to the asset management portfolio and is a win for both the development and the house. The proposed source of funds is the Federal Financing Bank, FFB program, and the projected equity takeout is $12.9 million. This will be a risk-share deal if approved. CSA 2 is a 93-unit Section 8 development in Providence, a 20-year HAP contract that expires with May 2044. And covers all 93 units. The loan-to-value is 79%, and the debt service coverage is 1.15. There was a CNA report from February of this year that indicates no significant repair items, and there is no construction component of this request. Underwriting conforms with Rhode Island housing standard requirements except for vacancy. A minimum of 5% is typical, but given the HAP contract and historic vacancy of less than 1%, that police 4% is appropriate. The appraiser used 3.4. Interest rate will be equivalent to the taxable interest rate at time of closing. Underwriting rate is 6% for maximum loan sizing. The current interest rate is approximately 6.47, which would yield a loan of approximately $19.5 million. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you, Stephen.
Second.
Second. Thanks, John. Motion been approved. Any comments or questions?
I would love to just ask for, if I may, perspective of the $12.9 million equity takeout. Presumably, there was a refinancing in 2013 for the developer, just as context. We're in year 11 of the tax credits. Assessing correctly. Can you just say a little bit about why we think it's fine? I'm not objecting. I'm just asking that degree of takeout.
Sure. This is Ann. It's a great question. So this I think it's important to note, again, as Trevor said, this is not in our portfolio. They could go to any lender, probably get a better rate and take more equity out than they can with us. This is a great candidate for a HUD MAP loan under the 223F. Interest rate would certainly be lower. They also have a lot of existing banking relationships where they can get 10-year loans with 40-year amortizations or 30-year amortizations with other lenders. So we're excited that they want to bring this into our portfolio. They have 9 or 10 or 11 deals with us. And they value their relationship with us, which is why they're willing to come back in, and that's why we're okay with the equity takeout.
And that's the purpose of this program. The purpose of this program was to generate this kind of business for the agency, and our finance group works very closely with the team to ensure that it's a sound mortgage and we'll have long-term benefits.
Right. This will sit on our balance sheet, and it'll be a great addition to the bottom line.
Yeah. And based on decades of experience we've had with Cathedral, we know that they're a responsible owner and manager and have taken great care of the property. And as certain board members can attest, if you have a Section 8 property, it throws off cash.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. I would also like to add that I think it's certainly they could sell a property.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. We don't know who that buyer would be. So, and they've demonstrated themselves to be a very responsible long-term.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the relationship is important.
Mm-hmm. Relationship is important. Great. I know that the sign-off, department sign-off sheet, again, I know the construction sign-off, but it was contingent on the final scope of work received there. Are they relatively confident that the final scope of work is sufficient? Because obviously we're putting in maybe 8,000 a unit.
Right. And yes, the CNA, we spent a lot of time working on that CNA. I think it goes out 19.7 years or something like that. So we're very confident. And under this program, we require year 10, they do a new CNA, and if the replacement reserves need to be sized, they'll be resized.
Okay, great. And then, secondly, could you remind me what our risk percentage is in the FSP program?
50-50.
It is 50-50, okay. And just one comment to note. Stefan stated that they're still in the tax credit compliance period. So I think it's worth, I know we've had the discussion before about Section 8 overhang, but I think it is at least worth putting in the tax credit maximum rents, just section of the memo so we're all aware. In the highly unlikely event that the contract goes away, that's the rents that we would be stuck at.
Right. You want us to put it in the chart here? Sure. Uh-huh.
If you don't have
it, there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Sure. That's easy enough.
I think it's very common practice in the industry to underwrite to the half rents, but
we underwrite to the lower of half or market.
Right.
And in this case,
exactly the same thing.
Yeah. They're mm-hmm. pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, sir?
My comments or questions were very similar to what you already asked. It was just the amount of money that's coming out, making sure the property was in good shape and there was not in the reserves. And it sounds like you've looked at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've been putting money back into the property out of excess cash over the years, making repairs as they go rather than holding and waiting for a refi to do a lot of work.
Yeah, that's great.
Based on our standard guidelines for preservation, the replacement reserve is $2,000 a unit. They're putting almost $7,600 a unit based on the capital needs assessment.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
All those in favor of recommending firm approval of first mortgage financing for Cathedral Square Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, say nay. 5 ayes, and the motion is approved.
I think that Item number four, recommendation for approval for that's for Smith Hill Limited Partnership. Properties located.
I'll take Dean. Dean Harrison. This request for action is an administration action required under our general rules covering multifamily loan programs. This request for action is for one, the approval of the transfer of the limited partnership and approval of the subsequent sale of the development interest in Smith Hill Visions. The Smith Hill Visions is the 26-unit scattered site of affordable family housing located in the Smith Hill neighborhood of Providence. The owner of the development is Smith Hill Visions Limited Partnership. Smith Hill Community Development Corporation, a Rhode Island corporation that holds 0.01% interest in the partnership. The two current investors and limited partners in the developments are Apollo Housing Capital LLC, limited partner, and Apollo Housing Manager 2, Inc., a special limited partner, also known as RVC Community Investment Manager 2, Inc. Combined, they hold 99.99% interest. They intend to withdraw and transfer their partnership interest to Smith Hill Community Development Corporation. Smith Hill Community Development Corporation is the sole shareholder of the general park. Smith Hill Community Development Corporation will assume all existing obligations encumbering the development. The initial compliance period ended in 2019. The current property manager is Dimio Properties, Inc., and there's no change in the management is contemplated. Subsequent to the transfer of the limited partnership interest, Smith Hill Community Development Corporation has notified Rhode Island Housing and other community partners that once the transfer is completed, it will be dissolving and selling its assets, including Visions. Smith Hill Community Development Corporation has entered into an agreement to sell the development to Dimio or a related party. Dimio is a seasoned developer and property management firm with both affordable and market rate properties in its portfolio, and in, which includes two other developments it purchased from Smith Hill Community Development Corporation. The sale of the development to Dimio has been reviewed by both the development and housing divisions, who have determined the transfer will be beneficial to the residents of the development and the long-term prospects for the development itself. So we ask approval of the following: the transfer of the limited partnership interest into the sale of the Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Okay. So moved. Thank you, Stephanie.
Second, Bravery.
Thank you very much. Comments or questions about this action? No? Okay. No questions or comments. Let's move straight to the vote.
Very good. All those in favor of recommending approval of a transfer of physical assets for Smith Hill Visions Limited Partnership for properties located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have five ayes. The motion's approved.
Perfect. Item number five, recommendation for approval of transfer of physical assets for Barton Street Neighborhood Revitalization, properties located in Pawtucket. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dean Harrison. This request for action is an administrative action required under our general rules governing multifamily loan programs. This request for action is for the approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in the Barton Street neighborhood revitalization. Barton Street is a 27-unit affordable family development located in Pawtucket. The owner of the development is Barton Street Neighborhood Limited Partnership. Barton Street Development Corporation, a Rhode Island corporation, holds 0.01 interest in the partnership and is the general partner. The current investor limited partner is Freddie Mac Equity Plus 2 ESIC Limited Partnership, which holds 99.99% limited partner interest. They intend to withdraw and transfer his partnership interest to Pawtucket Central Falls Development. Pawtucket Central Falls Development is the sole shareholder of the general partner. Pawtucket Central Falls Development will assume all existing obligation encumbering the development. The initial compliance period had ended in 2018. The current property manager is Bakken Property Management. There's no change anticipated in the management agent. So we ask approval of the following, the transfer of the limited partnership interest in the development.
Thank you very much.
So moved.
Thank you, Stephan. Thank you, Maria. Any comments or questions about this section? It's another procedural item.
Yes.
Yep. With no comments or questions.
Okay. All those in favor of recommending approval of a transfer of physical assets for Barton Street Neighborhood Revitalization for properties located in Pawtucket, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With five affirmative votes, approved unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our agenda items for today's meeting. I'll turn to pipeline.
Sure. This is Ann Berman. No surprise, we're working diligently to bring two or three transactions to the board in May for firm commitment. So these are projects that received their additional funding last month, and the developers are working through the submission of their remaining due diligence, updated letters of intent, things of that sort. So we're confident two, maybe three will make it. So stay tuned for that. We're hopeful that the remaining previously funded SFRF deals will go to firm in June. We continue to work through the RFP review. We're working closely with Stephan's staff at the Department of Housing. The 9% applicants have all been notified of their scores. And this week is the appeal period for those scores. We, under the QAP, we do allow a short appeal period. The remaining 65-plus projects or so have also been scored, and we are working through the challenge of funding as many of those as we can, given the, you know, we've got numerous pots of money, but they all have various restrictions and various amounts of money, so it's a big board, you know, really wide screen for this one. And we are trying really hard to make all of our remaining SFRF and RFP recommendations in May. Construction on existing projects is continuing, and knock on wood, most appear to be on schedule, so we're cautiously optimistic that we're going to be able to bring a good number of units online by the end of the year. Some of you have already met them, but I'm most excited. We hired two new development officers who started on Monday. So introduced James Dillon and Antonio Giordano, basically know where the cafeteria is and do all of the security training that our IT department requires. So we're ready to start putting them to work. So happy to answer any questions.
Well, you joined at a very busy time.
Yeah. None too soon.
So, just to recap, so the deals that were approved for funding back in May of last year, a couple will be coming for their final approval within a month, and then the balance will be in June.
We hope so. Yeah, that's the goal here.
Right. Any comments, questions?
Closings are going well in current deals.
Well, as closings go, yeah. You know.
I mean, B of A is a big challenge, but we work through it.
Stop. And I say this with a big smile on my face when I look at our general counsel. There's a lot of lawyers who like to comment on a lot of things, so it takes a while.
And also, you've got the balance of the cost.
Yeah. There's a lot of documents with some of these deals.
Yeah. Are you seeing any moderation in cost?
Not yet.
No.
I mean, insurance continues to be a challenge, both on sort of the operating side and on the sort of the builder's risk side. The developers, they know what they have to do. Everybody's got a checklist, and it's just, you know, a matter of getting it done. A couple of Dean's working with developers on a couple of the 4% deals that were closing. That's an added challenge of the tax exempt piece, but they're getting it done. So,
any reports from our general contractors or subs? Big volume.
for them.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm happy to check in with Tony. And so knock on wood, things are existing projects under construction seem to be okay. So if there's been some stabilization in the supply chain market, that has had a beneficial effect.
The volume hasn't really hit yet,
mm-hmm.
right? So the real test will be probably 12 months from now.
Yeah, yeah. The big, really big.
Underway.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think the electrical gear still is a challenge, but a lot of these folks sort of saw it coming, and the good contractor saw it coming and, you know, really, like, ordered this stuff as early as they could. So.
Other comments or questions? Well, thank you very much for that report.
Thank you.
Please take a vote on that.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have five. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.